How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I know a lot of you besties are romance readers like me, and let me ask you, is there anything better than when the next book in a series you love is finally released? For me, that is The Davenports More Than This by Crystal Marquis. This is the much-anticipated sequel of The Davenports, which was an instant New York Times bestseller. I loved The Davenports. It was giving Will They or Won't They Bridgerton vibes, so of course, opulent historical drama with leading ladies and their dashing suitors, grand balls, and drama. You know I love the drama. All set in 1910 Chicago with a wealthy black family, the Davenports. And I love that the author's inspiration for the Davenports was a real family, the daughters of C.R. Patterson, who was a carriage manufacturer in the early 1900s. And I can confirm The Davenports More Than This continues the story you fell in love with, or will fall in love with if you haven't started yet, as we pick back up with Ruby, Olivia, Amy Rose, and Helen as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and, of course, in love. As the drama heats up in the summer of 1910, you'll find these young black women meeting new faces and facing new trials that change their lives and hearts in ways they couldn't have imagined. If you've read The Davenports, you know you want to pick this up immediately, and if you have not yet read this series, this is the perfect time of year to settle into a story that you won't want to leave. You can buy your copies at The Davenports by Crystal Marquis and its sequel, The Davenports More Than This, wherever books are sold.
5, 6, 7, 8, Lemily.
That was a Haley special right there.
Lemily.
I had to coerce her.
Lemily. It's she Luke did. And Emily.
She had to convince me. All right, here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
I'm coming to you live from my new office.
I know. What fun.
Oh, what fun. It is very, very surreal. I feel good about it. You know, I can't believe that I'm in this new space. I told you this when the movers put my desk down in here. I was like, oh my gosh, this is my new office.
Yeah, it's kind of like a blank canvas. And like it really it's the first is. Brush stroke is yeah. putting that desk in there. Because I feel like you're going to make it very you, very homey podcast studio.
Yeah.
That guests come and stay in, like me.
I know, I can't wait for you to come and stay in Tara's office. We went from Tara's terrace to Tara's office.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We'll have to get you a little sign on the door. You know what I think you need, actually? Because I do know that Brett is home right now. You need one of those signs outside the door
that's
where it's
recording.
Like recording now. Do you remember that episode of Full House, which we were just
yes.
talking about, the Beach Boys and Full
we
House?
Were in Full House.
Where they're like locked downstairs and it's because they haven't turned off the recording sign.
Yes.
And when they turn it off, Aunt Becky opens the door.
Oh my God.
You need one of those.
I do. You're so right.
So Luna and Brett know that you're recording.
Well, Luna's in here right now and she definitely has been looking at the door like, hey man, what's up? She wants to come and go as she pleases. I probably
right,
could open the door, but
it's best not.
I'm going to close it for now.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, we watched the 100th episode the other day.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've been waiting for this. You mentioned it and you're like, but I'll tell you later. And I was like, when's later?
Yeah, we watched it. It was a lovely weekend. It was very stressful. I'm exhausted. We're about
you said,
to.
It's a lovely weekend. It was very stressful.
It was a lovely weekend, but it was also different. Stressful. I am exhausted. But I still had a great time. Nancy and Tim were here and we got to spend a lot of time with them, which was great. I bid farewell to my apartment and that was really sad and emotional, but I'm happy to be here. And when we sat down, we had like a little break in between the marathon on Sunday because Brett's sister and her husband ran the marathon. And then we had a break in between before we went out to dinner and my mom was coming. So we sat down and we watched the 100th episode and he loved it. I mean, like he thought it was a brilliant and done episode, but something he said, which is very interesting. And when we told Nancy at dinner that he had watched it, she was like, oh my God, about this opinion. He likes these characters, but he finds them very fascinating, but he cannot get on board with Emily and Richard. He's like, they're bad people.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, I just don't see why we're rooting for them. at all. Like, there was no redemption in this episode for the two of them. And I was really hopeful that we would have gotten their vows and we would have been like, okay, we've seen them do some shitty things, but at the end of the day, they love each other so much. And he hated that we didn't get to see their vows. I said, well, hold on, because I wanted him to, you know, experience the "For Tonight and Tonight Only, My Name is Bill and This is Our Song." And he didn't, he didn't think that that was sufficient enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found that really interesting.
That is. I mean, I felt like it was very sentimental.
Oh, I do too. But I think on the whole, he really liked the episode. He knew that something was brewing with Christopher and, you know.
Of course.
The when villain. We watched Come Home, we watched Come Home and Emily comes and she puts the invitation down. She's talking to Christopher and Brett just goes face down on the floor. He was like, why? 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 Why?
That is such a good question. Why?
Because he was waiting to see the other shoe drop and how it was going to drop and who was going to drop it. And I don't think he was expecting that it would be Emily stirring the pot. I think he thought that Lorelai was going to fuck up in some way, which she kind of did. But Emily really instigated all of this.
Is he the one that's not like a huge Lorelai fan? I forget.
He was at the beginning, like not a huge Lorelai fan. He was just like, I don't really love her. And now I think he's does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because I forget, I've talked to so many people about their partner's experience of Lorelai, and there's someone who they just like don't like her. And I can't remember who it is.
It was Brett at one point. He was kind of like on the fence about Lorelai. And I understood. I was like, I get it. Maybe if you didn't watch this character growing up and kind of have this deep, just like soft spot in your heart for her, because as a 12-year-old, you're like, oh my God, I wish that my mom was just like her.
Yeah.
And then as you get closer to her age, you're like, some of the choices she makes aren't exactly the choices I would make, or like, she needs to grow up a little bit. But I think that she's really grown on him in this situation specifically. He was like, I'm so team Lorelai here, because what the fuck?
What a wild episode. What a wild episode to be like, hey, you want to just watch one?
I know.
Well, that was it.
Well, we had watched a couple of episodes because I really wanted to get to this episode. I wanted to get to the 100th. I wanted us to just like walk on through and cross that threshold so that we can really start to climb towards the end of season 5. And I want to catch up to where we are on Patreon. I don't know if we're going to, but we'll see.
No. We'll be on season 7 before he gets there. But you know what I'm actually interested in is not Wedding Bell Blues, but what he feels about Say Something. Because we had a lot of feelings about that one on Patreon. It made you very anxious.
Yeah.
And so I'm very interested to see what he'll say about that one.
I am too. Because he doesn't know what the fallout is going to be.
Oh, he does not. Ooh.
So
we have to keep us updated. The people will want to know.
I am the
people.
It's me. I am people. But speaking of Wedding Bell Blues, today's episode is about Emily and Luke. Something that Haley has said often since we started this podcast.
Did I say it often?
I think so. I think at least you said it often when we first started.
When we were first like plotting and planning.
Yeah. That you think that Luke Danes is Emily Gilmore in a baseball cap. And I've always been so fascinated to hear why you think that.
Well, I have a very long list over here.
She came with receipts.
I came with ideas that I want to introduce to you, because I feel like this is kind of like maybe going to be a little bit of a format of like future episodes of like, I have an idea. Do you agree with it? Maybe not right now, but maybe at the end we'll feel a certain way.
But before we get into that, we wanted to remind you guys, we are going to St. Louis. We're recording this right before we leave. We leave tomorrow. Yes. I'm so excited. So we'll talk about that more in the next episode.
Yeah.
But we are also going to be in Atlanta for our birthdays. I'm
Happy
so
birthday,
excited.
Girlies.
Yay.
I cannot wait for you to come to Atlanta, for us to do the show. I think that this is going to be like the ultimate Gilmore Girly birthday party.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun. It's really exciting that this year we've gone to so many places together, and places that like either I've never been before, you've never been before, or we haven't been to in a while, like LA. But we've traveled so much together over the last year.
We have.
I love it so much. And now I get to finally go to Atlanta, which we've been talking about since we became friends.
I know. And I love that this year of like us doing shows is kind of rounding out in my home.
Yeah, because we started in my home in New York.
Yeah.
And actually, we kind of start. No, we really started in my home in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then we went to New York.
And it's not really the end, but this the end of this year is capping out. You coming to Atlanta, us doing the show. Happy birthday, girlies. It'll be a birthday celebration. We will have someone there to make custom charm bracelets, charm necklaces. Mm. We will have cake with our faces on it, of course, because Tara is turning 33 and I am turning 32, which is so much fun. But we'll have a full show. I'm excited. My whole family will be there. You will be there. All of our besties will be there. And we will just have a Gilmore birthday bash.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't either. So it's going to be Thursday, December 5th at Helium Comedy Club in Atlanta. We can't wait to see you there.
You said Helium Comedy Club, and for some reason I thought you were about to say Haley's house.
Haley's
and I was
house.
Like, it's not going to be at my house.
What if it was, though?
What if y'all just all came to my house?
Your mom would
Leo's
love it.
Coming. He's not going to come to the show, but
no.
Leo will be here.
I'm so
we
excited.
We joked because he's missing his school Christmas recital because it's the same day because they're coming up here. So we joked that our opening act would be Leo doing his Christmas songs that he's been preparing.
What has he been preparing?
It's like songs, like Christmas songs that they all sing. You know, they all the little kids stand up on stage and sing the Christmas songs.
I didn't know
it's
if he had like a solo night. Or something.
I would love that so much. But no, we were joking that our opening act of Happy Birthday Girlies would be Leo singing his Christmas songs.
That would
and
be
they were kind
so
of like,
fun.
No, maybe not.
He's our
like,
town
maybe
troubadour.
Not, no, he is our town troubadour, but our show is past his bedtime. So
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it would have been great.
Do you think the town troubadour has a bedtime?
Well, this one certainly does.
I love it. So we hope to see you there. Maybe we'll have seen some of you in St. Louis by the time this airs. We can't wait for that one either. Oh my God. So
just
excited.
Just a fun time all around.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a fun time all around this episode.
Oh, I know. I'm really excited about it.
It was, and it's not that I'm not excited for every episode we do, but there's some of them that I just get this like kind of like eagerness, because as I was putting this list together last night, because I've been like mulling over Emily and Luke since we kind of decided to do this episode. We decided this like months ago to do this, but in the last couple of weeks I've been thinking about it, and last night finally putting it all together, I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like, I don't know, like the Grinch as he was preparing to steal Christmas.
That
like
so
he's
funny.
Just so eager to do it. So
that's how I felt about our town meetings episode last week. I just
loved and it came across. You were so excited in it.
I was. So, but I'm excited for this one too.
Yes.
Because as we said before, Haley has been talking about this topic for a while, and I've always been so fascinated by it because I didn't see it. When we decided we were going to do this episode, she was like, we should present to each other why we think this. And I was like, I actually don't think this. You think this. And I've been so excited to hear why.
And that's when I was like, oh, okay. So I'm excited. The way that this episode is going to kind of work is I'm going to present Tara almost like the pros of why I think they are similar. And then we'll discuss some cons of why they're not, because there are plenty of cons. And then at the end, I recently on our stories asked everyone what their favorite and least favorite things are about Luke and Emily. And what I have done with that at the end is I'm going to tell Tara what someone disliked or liked, and she has to guess which character they said this about.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. Some of them, major softballs. Some of them, I think we get tripped up. And that's the point, because we're here to kind of compare them and see how they're similar or not. And I do want to say, as we go into this, that when I was thinking about this last night, the two of them, all I could see was them in Forgiveness and Stuff, like that picture of them sitting side by side. And like that was the image that I had of them as I was like assigning all of these traits to them or like thinking of them being the same. I was just like, just the two of them, just two best friends, two best friends. And that's like the image. So I want y'all to hold that image in your mind of them in Forgiveness and Stuff sitting outside of Richard's hospital room.
Emily and saying, her like, you're idiots, both of you.
But Emily in her like red Christmas outfit, Luke in his flannel, of course. But one of the reasons I said this, because
I think that my first memory of having this kind of idea is when we were first planning out podcast episode ideas. Mm-hmm. And it was before we had decided to name the episodes like play on of Gilmore Girls episode titles. And we were kind of thinking of like buzzy questions. And the question was, is Luke, Emily in a baseball cap? And it just seemed so obvious to me, especially because of the amount that we compare Logan and Lorelai.
Mm.
It just made sense to me that they're all kind of dating their parents. But I think that the reason why this one is hard to make the jump for is because of Lorelai's attitude towards them. Because I think they are very similar, and it's more their similarities are almost different because it feels like an intentional exploration of Lorelai's perception of the same thing and how she relates to it. Because I think that that's why I say Luke is Emily in a baseball cap, because it makes it more palatable and Lorelai tolerates it and enjoys it. But when Emily does it, it's an affront. It's like an attack. And I think that that's like most of how we all perceive the world, if it's received well and if it is not received well, and the person's intention. Because I think that Luke's intention in the way that he does a lot of these things that I'm going to present is not malicious. And I don't necessarily think Emily is malicious, but she is more likely calculated to be on the scheming, on the attack with these things.
Yeah.
And so as I'm listing these things out, I don't necessarily want to at this point discuss Lorelai's perception of them because I think it takes away the similarity. But really, the difference is how Lorelai feels about these things. Okay. But the first one is not having anything to do with Lorelai at all. But they both have sisters. They both have one sister, Luke and
that's true.
Emily. And they neither of them have parents that exist within the storyline.
Wow, you're so right. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually do want to do an episode on people's siblings because for the most part, everyone in the show has a sister. No one has brothers. Everyone is the brother.
Yes. Yes. That's so true. Or they everyone have like one sibling.
Yeah. And it's a sister.
Mm-hmm.
They both have a signature style of dress. Like,
because
Emily is in her St. John knits and then Luke is in his flannel and baseball cap. And that's kind of how you're always going to expect
Yeah, they always
to
kind of have
them.
A uniform. Yeah, you're so right.
And they do both have a little bit of a fancy dress look. Like Emily will go to a gala and a bit of a look. Luke will go to the bank. No. Take his hat off, you know, there's a little bit of that there.
Sure.
And I think with that look, we always kind of expect to see them scowling a bit, like unhappy. Like when we come across them, it is not immediate that we are going to see them being joyful. We're going to like kind of feel like a grumpiness or like a sourness to them. But when we do see them like smiling and happy, we're like, what is occurring? Yeah. What has happened? Tell us more.
Yeah. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. What has occurred between all of you?
Mm-hmm.
This one, I guess, is like not necessarily a similarity, but it's kind of like a parallel in their storyline, is that when we expect to see Luke, we expect to see him at breakfast time. Like we can kind of like assume like if they're going to have breakfast, they're going to have breakfast at Luke's. And the end of that is that the guaranteed time to see Emily is at dinner. And so they kind of like bookend Lorelai's day a little bit. Of course they go to Luke's for dinner and they never go to Emily's for breakfast, but it's kind of just like that expectation of when we're going to see them. But
so
it's
true.
Like the commonality of being tied to the expectation of we're going to see them around mealtimes.
That's so
in a
true.
Way that we don't see other characters.
They both kind of provide the meals to the Gilmore Girls in different ways.
Yeah. That's just like a how we see them and like the parameters of their expectation in the plot. If we're going to see Luke, we know we're going to see him at mealtime. We see Emily, we're expecting Friday night dinner. No, we see both those characters outside of that.
And it's interesting that when Lorelai is at odds with these people, she avoids those circumstances, going to Luke's, going to Friday night dinner. It causes friction. Rory is usually the middle person in all of that, like with Danish Day, you know, and Nick and Norris and Nancy.
Yeah.
And in Forgiveness and Stuff, speaking of, you know, when she shows up for the apple tarts and Lorelai wants her to get an apple tart, Lorelai wants Rory to get a Danish for Danish Day. And Luke's like, who's this for? It's for her, isn't it? I feel like that's very Emily coded.
Yeah, it really is. I think that they, not that other characters aren't quick to anger, but I feel like they're both the standout in terms of getting angry in this regard. They're like, they can like turn on a dime. Like they are very, I think Luke more so is like verging on, not violent, but he's more willing to fight with, like physically fight. He's going to kick a car. He's going to fight Dean in the street.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
But sure. Emily is quick to get mad. I couldn't really think of another character that is that quick to anger as Paris. The two of them. Well, she's in her own little world over here.
I was going to say, I think that Paris is the only other character that I could parallel with Emily. Like, she's almost like a younger version of Emily in some ways. Not in the sense that she wants to be kind of, not that Emily wants to be a trophy wife, but Emily is okay being Richard's wife, as we've talked about a lot in our Patreon recaps. Whereas I feel like Paris wants to work. Like she's the epitome of what Shira Huntsberger is talking about when it comes to, you know, her kind of criticism of work. She wants to work. It's like that's Paris Geller to a T.
Yeah, that's all she wants to do.
But I do see a lot of similarities in Emily and Paris. Emily in Paris. I see those similarities in their quickness to kind of cut someone down.
Yeah. And I don't think necessarily Luke is cutting people down, but no. He does get very angry. I think they get angry in different ways. Yeah, I think both of them have a quick to anger. They're both short tempered. They both have been arrested because of their temper.
For silly things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having to do with cars.
Yeah. So silly. That feels like it falls like in that same.
Haley, do you like free stuff?
I do like free stuff.
Well, then you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with every purchase.
We have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year.
If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone.
You are not. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body.
Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, managing stress, balancing hormones, improving your mood, feeling refreshed, all in one bottle.
When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded.
Right now, for the entire month of November, Buy Optimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are having a Black Friday blowout sale on all of their products.
All month long, you will get discounts with our unique code, plus access to up to $100 in free gifts with purchase.
This is the best time to stock up and take advantage of all the free extras you're going to get. You can only get this exclusive deal through our link for our Gilmore to Say audience only. You won't find this on Amazon or even on the company website. So go to buyoptimizers.com/moretosay and use code moretosay to get your discount and free gifts today.
And one last thing, you should know all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked.
Again, the link to go to right now for this exclusive deal is buyoptimizers.com/moretosay.
The same realm. They both have trouble communicating their feelings despite how blunt they can be. I think that is very true of both of them. This one, I don't think it requires much explanation, but they're both the Lorelai antics police. They like will stop it. Like they're like quick to
shut
not follow along. Yes.
Yeah, not play along.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that's always true of Luke.
No, I don't either.
But when he does want to shut it down, he doesn't have any trouble being honest about it. In a way, he's not honest about his feelings. Mm. I think that they're both critical of Lorelai when they're hiding their feelings.
Mm.
Like, they're very willing to question what she's wearing. But this is where I think the intention comes from. Luke is more of like a kind of like from a place of like, what the fuckism? And Emily is more of a place of judgment. But they're both critical of what she wears and what she eats. They both serve food to her that she questions. Mm-hmm. And Luke's is more in a means of wanting her to be healthier. And Emily's is more so like, this is just what I'm serving you. Like, eat it. And they kind of question her decisions in general. But I think that, again, the intention behind it is what roots whether or not Lorelai accepts it. They're both always irritated with their neighbors, and they love to go on rants about their neighbors.
they love a rant.
Like, all I could think about is Emily ranting about the king size candy bars the black labs, and you name any rant that Luke has ever gone on about the town, about Taylor.
I was gonna say it's about Taylor and kind of the town, but I don't know if we've ever seen him like specifically get upset. Well, I guess it would really just be Taylor.
Well, Taylor is his neighbor. Yeah, and he's like his business neighbor.
Yeah, totally.
If you can see through his window.
That's true.
That's a neighbor. They both have a soft spot for Rory, and they never bring their anger to her. I wouldn't say never, but for the most part, she is kind of exempt from that short fuse.
She really is. I think that with the exception of like, you know, mid-season six to Friday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Emily, and that's where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah. Emily really reserves her anger and her disdain for Lorelai, even if Rory is in the wrong.
Even if Rory's in the wrong, it's Lorelai's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I wouldn't say that's true of like how Luke feels, but.
Yeah. Generally, I've never really seen him get angry with Rory ever.
No.
They've been on the outs before, but.
Yeah, and it immediately reminds me of Fight Face when he gets mad at Lorelai after interacting with Rory. But again, any feelings he has about it, he directs it at Lorelai.
Yeah.
But they both, in that same Rory sense, kind of help raise her. They act as a parental figure. Of course, a grandparent is going to be a parental figure, but Luke steps in as well before they arrive. And then the last one that I have is they both feel very strongly about their family and the loyalty and taking care of them. The instance that I had in mind here was Luke wanting to do Louis's funeral and Emily doing Grant's funeral up until the betrayal. But well, she was gung-ho to do it. And they're doing it out of obligation to someone else and not because they want to do it. Like, Luke, I think, to some degree was doing it, but he wanted to make his father proud. Like, he was doing it for his dad. Yeah. And Emily was doing it for Richard.
Totally.
And for no other reason.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that they just have a strong sense of loyalty to their family.
Yeah, that's so true.
And those are all of the similarities that I made.
Can I tell you, there was one that I was expecting.
Oh, what was it?
The value that they put on education.
Ooh.
I feel like the way that Luke really lays into Jess, as we've talked about going to school and graduating, is very in line with how Emily and Richard feel about school. It's not to the same degree as Emily and Richard, where it's like, you know, you go to a prestigious school, you go to Yale, you know, they look down on very, very great schools like Brown. Remember, they make fun of the simpleton grandson of his who couldn't get into Brown. It's like, okay, that's a little too far. I think that Luke is more proud of just an education in general, less where someone goes to school, but they do both put a lot of value on education. And they tend to chastise those who don't see through their vision. They also think that they know what's best for other people. Jess criticizes Luke for this, of course, in season four when he returns. And it's because Luke is kind of trying to meddle in Liz's life in the way that he's like, we got to do something about TJ. That's very Emily coded in that she feels like she knows what's better for the people that she loves and her family. It can kind of fall into the category of, you know, family first, but it does come out as like, I know what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you, especially in the way that Luke treats Jess.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And I think that a lot of my list was guided of how similar they are in regards to Lorelai. Mm-hmm. So I thought of it from that perspective of like, I don't necessarily think that he thinks he knows what's best for Lorelai. Sometimes he does, but Emily is a lot more harsh about that. But you're totally right that like he oftentimes will insert himself into other people's lives because he thinks what he has decided is better. So Emily of him.
Very Emily of him. Yeah. I was waiting the whole time for the education.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. That was kind of the only one that I was like thinking about last night. I was like, I really do think that the way that they value education and the way that they lay into the people who, you know, don't heed their same mindset is a way in which I could see them being very similar and very hard-headed. But I was surprised when you didn't say that. But I loved all these other ones. They were things that I've never really thought about before, especially the funeral one. I really, really liked that one because it is true. Those are kind of parallel storylines that aren't exactly the same, but they are doing these things for people that they really value and love and want to take care of, even if that means taking care of them after they've passed in Luke's case. So, wow, I really love that, Haley. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Do you feel like they're similar after that?
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of ways, of course, in which they're very different. You know, at the top of the list for the cons is like beer versus champagne.
Yeah.
You know,
Emily is rather wealthy.
Well, it's also more about their taste. Like,
yeah.
Luke is also very well off. He's very smart about his money.
Yeah.
And in that way, but I think maybe he's a little bit more like Richard. But I just
think, is it that he says it's very off with their heads?
Yes.
When he goes there. It's a difference. There's a difference. He's smart with his money versus they are just ridiculously wealthy.
Yeah, but I also think that it just when it comes to their taste, when I think Luke, I think a beer. When I think Emily, it's a glass of champagne.
Do you like another beer?
Beer, Luke. And Luke hates champagne, as we find out in Tiffany and Taylor 2. And Emily would never be caught dead with a beer. So in that way, I think that they're very opposite. But that also can speak to not just what their taste in drinks are. It's just their taste in general and who they are. Even though they both value money, they both value education and all the ways that they can be similar, what they appreciate and what they're okay with, their standards are different.
Yeah. Do you think that in them being so definitive about that taste of like, it's very purposeful that Luke doesn't like champagne, like when at Sniffy's Tavern or after the election, that he doesn't want it and she remembers that he doesn't like this and he wants beer at Rory's party and at when he goes to have dinner at the Gilmores, that it kind of is lending this like two sides of the same coin of like he is Emily in a baseball cap, of like the intention of these opposites is to compare that they are similar on different ends of Lorelai's spectrum.
I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know. I don't know if Amy put that much consideration into, and that's not to insult her intelligence. She's so smart. She's very, very intentional about what she does with these characters. But I don't know if she intended to make Luke and Emily as similar as we're kind of pointing out in this episode. And if she really intended, especially for the whole like beer versus champagne, to be symbolic. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, that's the thing. Got so many questions for you, Amy. Come on down.
I know.
We'll get you a mic.
It's true. We'll get you a sure mic. Come on down.
But I had a couple of questions for you about their differences.
Okay.
The cons, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Luke would have ever Shira Huntsberger.
That's kind of what I was thinking when we were talking about them being quick to anger, but not necessarily being... Luke not necessarily being someone who would cut someone else down. The Shira Huntsberger moment is exactly what I thought of. I can't see him doing something like that. I can see him laying into someone he loves, i.e. Jess, Lorelai. I mean, the fights that they've had, you know, go to hell, right back at you. I mean, the way that Lorelai and Luke fight is very similar to the way that Emily and Lorelai fight. It's very, very intense. It's filled with a lot of emotion and a lot of subtext. And so I can see those things being similar, but I don't think that Luke would ever go for the jugular in the way that Emily does. I don't see Luke ever going up to somebody and cutting them down verbally the way that Emily did in that episode. Yeah.
And I saw that more as, yes, definitely he wouldn't go about it in that manner. But I also kind of saw that he wouldn't necessarily, and as I'm saying it, I'm kind of disagreeing with myself, that he wouldn't like go up to someone and be that protective about someone in his life. But that's not true. We talked about it in the last town meeting when he like went after everyone to protect Jess.
That's true. That's very true. But it felt a little bit more collective. It felt more like I'm angry at all of you because I feel betrayed by the fact that you didn't even include me in this. You didn't even include me in the conversation. And now you're talking about me and my family behind my back. And you're having a meeting about it.
But he stands up and he yells about it. And that's it just feels like that same thing of like, he's protecting Jess regardless of like if it's right or wrong. And in the Shira Huntsberger of it all, she's protecting Rory and her family.
Yeah.
So it's very different. But I just don't think he would ever.
No, you're totally right. I have a question for you. I don't think he would
ever go with the knife that Emily was holding.
Well, not the same, but kind of speaking of, do you think that Emily would ever go to Penelin Lott's house and punch her in the face?
Boy, did she wish she could.
You know?
You know, I think that she had every opportunity to Emily Gilmore version of punch in the face. I think that what she did to Shira was worse than punching her. I think it would have been more decent to just punch her in the face.
No.
Like more humane.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's that same sort of like vibe. But yeah, I don't think she would go kick a car. I don't think she'd stand outside someone's house and kick a car.
Yeah, maybe the ways, like the specific ways in which they let out their anger, their pain, etc., aren't the same, but they do both take let it out externally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so right.
They both have a little bit of a dark day. Luke has his on his own and Emily's is in the living room.
When?
In a bathrobe.
Oh, I was going to say in the raining Lorelei. Copy that. Yeah.
Yep.
Not, no. I mean, it's not, maybe it's not going to happen every single year. But to that effect, one of the ways I was going to say they're a little bit different is that despite the fact that, yes, you're right, their parents are absent from the storyline in that they're not physically here, I do feel like Luke's parents are much more ever present in dialogue than Emily's are. We don't really hear a lot about Emily's.
We hear
a lot about Luke and his connection to his
Luke's
dad.
Father.
The father. The son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And we do get like a little sprinkling of his mom because she liked the winter carnival or the firelight festival or
and
something.
The coupon drawer or the coupon can. Like we get some talk about his mom for sure.
But we never get Emily's parents referenced.
Not really. With the exception of the pearls and on the invitation. And maybe some talk about her in season one, but it feels very, very sporadic and very thin.
Well, in the same way, like her sister Hopi, we mention her once, never hear from her ever again. And we meet Liz. So there is like a depth to the story that takes place, but is similar on paper.
Can I also tell you one way that I was thinking about as you were talking that I meant to mention about their similarities?
What is it?
They both have in-laws or parents of their partners that don't approve of them. Emily does exactly to Luke what Trix did to her.
100%, you're so right. Like, Emily is
the
his
note that
Trix.
That Trix wrote to Richard about Emily could be equivalent to Emily going to Christopher's house, giving him the invitation for Wedding Bell Blues and asking him to basically come in and
Is it sabotage. Worse to write it down and send it and save the carbon copy or just go straight there and say it?
You know, I think they're both on.
I think they're both bad.
They're both bad.
Neither's good.
No.
No, you're so right. Oh, that's
dang.
So
I never thought about that.
Me neither. Good job. Good one.
Thanks. I said I didn't have anything to say about this, but turns out I had a lot.
You do have some stuff to say. Maybe I at some point, I will say I did stop writing similarities and stopped kind of like considering it because I was like, I want, hopefully, for you to have things to say, which you did. Great job. Or I do want to, this December, when we're going to do a couple of GTCs that we have like kind of stacked up, I want to hear from y'all what you think about all of these similarities, differences. I want you to call in and have some Luke and Emily, Lemily, if you will, opinions to offer, because I definitely feel like y'all would have a lot to say, more to say, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I do have a couple of more differences between them.
Okay.
Luke offers guidance and Emily assumes she knows what's right for Lorelai. Like, I feel like when it comes to her business or advice that she needs, Luke is a lot more willing to step up and guide her, especially in their friendship. Changes a little bit when they become a couple. But Emily very rarely offers guidance. The only guidance that I can ever really remember is when she's deciding on a veil when she goes to her house. I think she ends up saying to wear a tiara. And I don't see, I don't see throughout the series her really offering much in terms of guidance.
No, not a lot of guidance, but you're right, more hard and fast opinions.
Oh, 100%. I think another difference is that when the two of them are at odds, whether that is Emily and Lorelai or Lorelai and Luke, Emily is the first one to break. And I think that Luke is usually waiting for Lorelai. Like, in the instance that I'm thinking of is when they have their big blow up after Teach Me Tonight, after the car accident, and she goes into the diner thinking it's going to be fine and it's not. And she has to then make the plea as Mimi in the beginning of season three. And that's kind of where things get kind of fixed. She had to wait on him just a little bit, but she was the one to break the ice and go after it. Whereas Lorelai could ice out Emily for ages. And so Emily is the one to usually bridge the gap.
That's true.
Not every time.
I was going to say, I think there are some times when it has to be on Emily's terms, like how many crow pogs to keep caught.
That's literally about what
when
I was
Logan
about to say.
Comes over and Lorelai wants to go.
She had something she wanted, and unless that there's something that she wants. But with Luke, the thing that she wants is usually her friend. It's never going back to Emily because she wants her mom.
You're so right. It's because she wants something else.
Yeah, it's because she has something else that she wants, a little treat. The treat's the friendship for Luke and Lorelai.
That's true. I will say that in those instances, Rory is often the person to bridge the gap sometimes.
Yes.
You know? So that's maybe a little similar, but you're right. I'd say it's more a difference. It's more of a con than a pro.
Yeah. And then the last question I have for you is, do you think that Emily lies to Lorelai in the way that Luke does?
Give me an example.
Season six.
Like with April?
April, yeah. And I think that Lorelai also lies to Luke a little bit. But I'm trying to think of, like, is there more honesty between Emily and Lorelai? It's not necessarily lying to her. She just doesn't tell her everything. But I don't think that Emily lies to Lorelai. She named her Lorelai. She will never lie. Just talking while you're thinking.
I can't really think of an instance where Emily, like, out and out lied to Lorelai. Maybe you guys can, but just, you know, in the moment off the top of my head, I'm not really thinking.
I know. It is kind of hard to have this question prepared, having thought about it, and then be like, think of the entire series right now. Yeah. That is sometimes why y'all are yelling.
Can you think of an instance where Emily...
That sounded
like,
so Dora. Can you think of an instance?
but do you have something that you're like, yeah,
no,
Emily lied
that's why
to her
I asked.
Yeah, she's pretty honest with her.
And we can appreciate that, but I think that maybe she's a bit schemy and doesn't tell her the full extent of her intention, but I don't think she's like outright like being, this is the truth and here is this other thing I'm telling you. And maybe Luke isn't actually lying. He's just not telling her. Lie by omission. Maybe they both do that. Maybe, Neither of them are lying to her. Y'all let us know.
Yeah, that one I think I need more time to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
But
like a present.
A good question.
Yeah. Y'all, if you have thoughts on that, call in and let us know and we'll answer it in our winter GTC episodes.
But I will say, I think after hearing all of this from you, I do think that the pros and cons are kind of equal.
Yeah. And I think that you could make all of the pros a con simply because of Lorelai's perception of it. You're like, she likes that. Like, of course.
They're different. The audience's perception of it, you know, in the way that
of those characters,
Amy
yeah.
presents it. But I'd love to write these down with you and kind of put them up on our Instagram to see how yeah. they shake out and what people think about them. Because I think that they're a lot more even than
yeah.
I expected them to be.
I think so too.
Just crazy. I mean,
there's like tons of differences of like Emily is a housewife. Luke makes burgers.
Yeah. Oh my God. There are some very
direct
ones.
He's a landlord. Like he owns buildings. Like there's so many that are just like, come on. Like we're going a little deeper. We got our shovels.
No, we're here to dig deep. Yeah, for sure.
Those are the ones that like I kind of came up with on my own. And now I want to turn to our besties who submitted their likes and dislikes of Emily and Luke. And as I was going through this, I first was kind of pulling them apart and seeing what was similar about them. But as I started to write it down, like as I was making these lists, I was like, so many of these are similar. Some of them are rather different. Mm-hmm. And I threw you some softballs. Don't worry.
Thank you.
The shovel didn't have to dig too deep on some of these. The magnifying glass was not particularly close. But I was like, they're kind of feeling similar. And I want to see if she can guess which of these it was written for. Some of them, it was written for both in different ways.
Okay.
But this was
like, an option or is it just Emily, Luke?
It is Emily or Luke because it was from the list that I pulled it from, like whoever wrote this for this. Someone else could have written it for the other one.
Okay.
But just maybe that makes it complicated. Maybe that makes the game crazy chaos. But this is my game. It's also kind of complicated because Luke keeps autocorrecting to like. My notes app will not keep Luke as a word. It's telling me that it's not a word. It's misspelled.
Sure.
So my likes autocorrected to Luke's because I went back and changed all of them. So I was a little confused by my list at first, but now I'm back on board. But I'm going to go through all the likes and tell you what they are. And then you tell me which character, whether this is Emily or Luke.
Okay.
Reliable.
Luke.
Fancy.
Emily.
See? I had to get you up there.
Yeah.
Protective.
Oh, that's both of them.
It's both of them, but.
Yeah. That's definitely both of them. I think that I would. Oh, man, it's both. I don't know.
It's both. But the person wrote this for Emily.
Yeah.
Hidden care for their loved ones.
Ooh. That's also both of them. But I'm going to say Emily.
It was Luke.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's both of them.
Hidden care for their loved ones. I guess you could say yes. Yeah, I guess you could say that about
Luke. And we don't have to agree with all of them. Like some of them, as we were going through it, I was like, I do think that is a little more Emily. But
this is what
the bestie said.
Okay.
Their one-liners are impeccable.
Oh. Both of them are Emily.
Emily. It was Emily, of course. what is it? Grab me a boa, drive me to Reno.
Oh, I mean.
It's like Luke just doesn't have that same zest.
Totally. But he does have some really funny one-liners.
Strong sense of self.
Emily.
Yep. Loyalty to those they love.
Ooh, both of them. But Luke.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
This was like in the likes and someone says, when they wear sweatpants.
Oh. Luke.
It's Luke, of course.
Tippecanoe Taylor too. Never forget it.
Yeah. Tippecanoe. So lets their guard down and makes a joke. They like when they do that.
Emily.
Yep. treats Rory like their own daughter.
Mm. Both of them, but Luke.
Yep. Great in their relationship.
Ooh, you could say both of them. Emily.
It's Emily. It was actually great in their marriage, but I couldn't say marriage because... Yeah.
I mean, both of them.
There was one marriage that he was in the series. And
yeah. But so I think Luke, you know, is great in his relationship in his own way. But Emily is very much, she's so loyal to Richard and to her marriage.
Makes burgers. Makes good burgers.
Luke.
Persistent.
Oh, Emily.
Hardworking.
Luke.
Absolutely savage.
Emily.
Cynical but consistent.
That's both of them. I'm going to say Luke.
Yeah. The sass.
Emily.
This was Luke.
Yeah, he also is sassy.
He's got that. How they care for Jess.
Luke.
It's definitely Luke. Couldn't be Emily.
Can you imagine?
Couldn't be Emily.
No, it's Emily.
If only. So those are all the things people like about them. And I feel like it's kind of mixed. Like it could fit for both of them. And these are all of the things that they dislike about Emily and Luke. Pushing people away when they're upset.
Luke.
It was Emily.
She does it too.
Yeah. She wants to buy a plane. Let her buy a plane.
Let her buy a plane.
Hypocritical.
Emily.
A little bit of both of them, but Emily.
Also, Luke, I was going to bring that up when we were talking about their similarities. You know, there are some double standards there. And
that was what someone said. Someone else said double standards, but felt like the same as hypocritical.
Yeah.
And I tried to, or rather, I didn't try to. I did make my list and then go to the listeners because if they were something that felt really similar to what I said, I did not include it. And the one thing was hypocritical was I was like, I could put that in mind because I do feel it, but I didn't want to steal from what the besties said.
Thanks for not stealing.
I wouldn't want to thieve. the next one is keeping April away from Lorelai.
Luke.
That's definitely Luke. The lack of communication.
Both of them.
Lack of communication skills.
Yeah, both of them. But I'm going to go with Emily.
Yep, Emily. Passive aggressive.
Also both of them, but Emily.
Yeah. Insufferable little busybody.
Emily.
That one killed me. Small-mindedness.
Ooh, both of them. But I'll go with Luke for this one.
Yep. Can be a bit cruel or mean.
Emily.
This one was actually for both of them, and it was the only one that I said both, because the wording on these were like cruel, mean. For both of them. And I was like, they can be mean.
They can be, yeah.
I think it fits more for Emily, though, personally.
It fits more for Emily. Like, there are few and far between moments for Luke that I can think, like, oh, that was mean or cruel. Cruel is not necessarily a word I would affiliate with Luke.
Oh, you know, when he's being mean is in her special alone place. You got a whole house of special alone space.
Oh, he's being awful in Jews and Chinese food. Is that Jews and Chinese food?
Yeah, that was mean.
He's being fucking terrible in that. But there's also when he gets the boat. Is that in? That is in, but not as cute as Pushkin when he has his dark day and she takes the boat and all the thigh masters, she buys them and she puts them in her garage. And he says, like, you didn't think about me. You thought about yourself. You know, that to me was a little mean. But cruel, I guess you could say, is a little bit more how he is, you know, in Jews and Chinese food, or after they break up in season 7 when he's like, I'm fine. They're in the street. He's like, I'm good.
Oh, wait, no, isn't it at? Oh, no, it is in the street. I was thinking it was at that grocery store.
Well, and then they talk at the grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, though, because we can come up with such specific examples for Luke, it fits Emily more.
I agree. Yeah,
kind of all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Hot-headed.
Both of them, but Luke.
Yep. Manipulative.
Emily.
Their pessimism can be exhausting.
Luke.
Obsession with Christopher.
Emily, but it could be applicable not depending Luke, on but it not was not Emily. Luke. Yeah.
Never tries to understand other people's perspective.
Emily.
Temper. Short-tempered.
Mm, both of them, but Luke.
Yeah. Victimizes themselves in their relationship with Lorelai.
Emily.
Luke.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting too.
Huh.
I kind of had more to say on that because I was, yeah. I wanted whoever wrote that in, I kind to of wanted in. To call out and be like, hey.
Call us.
Could call
Tell
us.
Tell us why.
Tell us why you feel like Luke victimizes themselves and their relationship with Lorelai. I don't disagree with it, but I don't know why I agree with it.
I don't necessarily agree with it.
I actually don't know how I feel. Someone call in and tell us how we feel.
Tell us how to feel.
Sense of superiority.
You could argue that for both of them, but I'm going to say Emily.
Emily.
But you could argue that for Luke because he does feel a sense of superiority when it comes to certain things like money Jess, they're just
even Liz. Like Liz, when
for sure
she's like TJ dead set on TJ, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's mm-hmm. like, oh no.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm, true. How they treat the people that work for them.
Mm, Emily.
Emily. I mean, like
I Luke think sometimes- Luke is pretty good to people, but he can be a little short with Caesar and he can be a little you know. He can be hot-headed at work and people have to kind of tiptoe around him like Lane.
Lane,
but I think for the most part, he's
But they're not good firing. He's not firing them, yeah.
No.
Lack of decisiveness or indecisiveness.
Maybe Emily?
It was Luke.
Hmm. In what way?
I don't know. They didn't explain it.
Okay.
Again, call in. Call in, my friends. Lack of vulnerability.
You could argue that for both of them, but... Oh, man, I don't know. It's both for me.
It's both, but it was Luke.
Was Luke.
Yeah. And honestly, when I put these question box up of the likes and dislikes, I didn't actually know what I was doing. I didn't want to put the question out there, is Emily like Luke? Because I didn't. I think that sometimes it's a flashy thing and immediately you're going to be like, no. Yeah. She wears St. John knits. He wears a hat. Very different. She's fancy.
She's fancy.
He makes good burgers.
She's high tea.
Different.
And he is
That's
black
her
coffee.
Mom, and he is a not her mom.
Yeah, totally.
That's her boyfriend. Yeah. So I didn't want to put that up there, but I didn't realize until I was like listing them all out. I was like, these kind of could be the same. Mm-hmm. So that was my little Emily v. Luke game.
I loved
you.
That. I loved that Fun. So much. That was a lot harder than I thought it would be.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, I had all the answers, so. But,
That's true.
But a lot of them fit both. So just... Because they're kind of similar.
They are. You really changed my mind in this episode.
Oh my gosh, did I really? That's my favorite thing is when, and I mean, I don't necessarily want to always change your mind, but I do love when we have both been watching the show for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I introduce you an idea and you're like before this, I was like, Tara has to have tons of ideas about this because I have so many. And then when we got to like the plotting of this episode, the scheming of the outline, and you were like, no.
I had more ideas than I thought I would. Like after kind of mulling it over last night, after we decided what the format of the episode would be, I was kind of like, okay, I think she's going to say this and I think she'll say this. But other than that, I have
That's
kind
so
of no
funny.
Idea.
I didn't say either of the either things of them. That you.
That's so funny.
I had to leave a space for you. Of
Thank
course.
You.
Always a space
that.
For you here.
But I loved it. Yeah. And I'm really excited to hear what our besties have to say about it. Because hopefully they also were a little like mind blown over it. And
Fingers
they'll call
crossed.
In and talk about it. We're going to record some Gilmore to Considers, as Haley said, for the holiday season. So that you guys are not completely out of Gilmore to say, well, we're out of office celebrating the holidays with our family. So we would love to hear from you guys and discuss this. Because I'm so curious what everybody else has
I
to
know.
Say.
I want to know if you like absolutely vehemently disagree. Mm-hmm. If you're like, hey, I actually have some thoughts about those ones that you guys had questions about. Mm-hmm. Or if you're like, I have been saying this for years. Or if like Tara, we changed your mind. Or if we
Tell
didn't
us.
Change your mind at all. Any of them. All of them.
Yeah. If you guys wrote in and you had like very strong opinions about either one of them that we were kind of like, I don't see that. Call us, please.
Call
I want
us.
To hear about it. I want to hear all about it. But on the topic of Emily Gilmore, this month for Gilmore to Read, we read Kelly Bishop's book, or some of us listened to it on audiobook.
I both eyeball read it and listened to it on audio. That's what it's called when you read with your eyeballs versus like reading with your ears.
I eyeball read it.
But that's what I say. I eyeball read it and I audio read it. Because I wanted to go back because there were some moments that you kind of flat read it when you're like eyeball reading it, but versus hearing her deliver it, because of course she's the narrator of the audiobook, hearing her read it to you feels like you're sitting across from her and having coffee. And it was just, I think it's my favorite memoir of all time. And I have been dying to talk to you about it because we have a little bit of an Emily month this month, because
we
have Emily and Luke today. In the next episode, we're going to talk about her memoir, but I cannot wait to talk to you about the end-ish when she starts to talk about Gilmore Girls, because she has some very fascinating thoughts about Emily and Lorelai.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.